The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes they're friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that proved that all you need for a smash hit is to get some cool actors, a very original idea that's never been done. I'm just kidding. They just ripped up a French movie.
The family-friendly movie about three men taking care of one baby and then almost getting killed by heroin dealers? Really? Heroin dealers.
Three dudes crushing puss, making babies. Three men and a baby, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And joining us today, a very special guest, returning guest, it's a baby.
Yeah, we have a baby on this one. That guy.
Got a also, baby. Jaime. Baby, say what's up. Say what's up, baby Oscar. Nope, he's busy.
Unplugging equipment.
He's just unplugging audio equipment.
He's got a cable and a socket, and he's smashing it in there.
Yep.
So for
on those theme.
For those of you listening to the podcast like normal, we also are taking video of this one. We'll probably have some up on the old YouTube channel.
We are also being responsible socially, so this is going through the computer.
Right? Yeah, this is
a Zoom.
Our first multi-location recording.
Yeah.
So hopefully it works.
Hopefully. It sounds, you guys can forgive us a little bit if the sound is a little bit off. Or if you hear the baby doing stuff.
Or if you can only hear you two guys and not us, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Or just a faint echo of it.
We're sorry for that.
So this is the legendary lost episode.
Yeah.
We, of course, recorded this once before, but the baby said a lot of racist stuff. So
we're back. Yeah. Also, he was very funny, and Eric, enraged by how funny the baby was.
I mean, I don't like when babies are funnier than me.
Deleted the whole episode. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, the baby was talking all over his lines. Yeah.
Every time I'd have a good joke, I'd get to the setup, and the baby would just steal the punchline.
Yeah, it was the worst. Good. It was good.
He was nailing it, though. I mean,
his comedic timing was impeccable.
Yeah, he was nailing it.
It's the best baby. I mean, he's doing great now, too.
Yeah, he's into more physical stuff now.
Yeah,
he's moved. He's now he's doing prop humor, you know.
But thank you. All right, so when we first recorded this, he was an actual baby. Now he's like a fucking toddler.
Yeah, yeah. He's about how many months is 2 years old?
24 months.
24 months. Yeah, he's two. He's about to be two next week.
Wow.
Wow. So it's like a birthday episode.
Full on toddler. Yeah. Full on. Oh no.
I'm plugging stuff.
Full-on toddler in a quarantine, just trying to keep it together.
Yeah, nice. I'm sure that's going great.
Hey, buddy, check it out. Look at these guys.
Yeah, look at that. You're on the old computer.
Before, there. He just used to be satisfied with peas.
Yeah, that's right. Peas and mushed carrots is what we had to give him. Right now he's eating what, tacos and stuff? He's eating like burritos.
Oh, he's eating beef.
Yeah,
he's eating cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
He's just drinking daddy water on accident.
Yeah, every now and then. That's
every
right.
Now and then, that's fine. You gotta start him young. So, Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah,
let's go the numbers on this.
So, this movie back in 1987 made $167 million. Highest grossing movie of 1987, which is crazy. But it did have the Oscars.
This was the highest grossing?
Of that year, yeah.
When did Cheers end?
After this, I think.
Yeah, it was after.
But this was right in the height of Cheers, for sure.
And Magnum P.I. Right?
And Magnum P.I. was still huge, and this was coming off of Police Academy after Cocoon, so Steve Guttenberg firmly established.
So all three of them were like at the peak of their career, and it shows in the numbers that this fucking movie brought in. Yeah. And it also is about the three, I'm going to say the two and a half most masculine men in Hollywood at the time.
No.
I mean, on TV, maybe on TV.
On TV, maybe, yeah.
TV.
Two and a half? Who's your half?
Guttenberg. Guttenberg is not super masculine. He's just like a charming guy.
He's a prankster. Yeah, okay.
He's a cutie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they rode this thing into Money Town, man.
Yeah.
Like this movie made so much money. And you put him in with a cute little baby. And right.
Technically, because there's twins, as is all babies.
Yeah.
All babies in cinema. He's you know, he's really working on his mimery right now. He's doing a lot of facial expressions.
This was a brilliant idea that we had, which was, let's record this episode with three men
and one baby. Yeah.
When he was just a little bouncy dude, it was cool. Now he's running out. He's going outside.
He's just leaving outside. He's breaking quarantine.
right into the street. Just runs right into the street every time.
Yeah. Out into there. But he's so cute. What car would hit him?
Hey. Did you like the movie?
Did you like the movie, buddy?
Which of us three dashing and very funny gentlemen would you want to raise you?
Yeah, who's your daddy?
We're making him pick, like, out of the three of us.
Which one of the three of us is your father? Or two strangers.
It's like an instinct thing. You know, he'll be like, that one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the one. That's the one I'm going with. So that's kind of like the thing about this movie is that you took.
Bye.
This is again one of the movies where the movie is a punchline to a joke.
Yeah, I mean it's an SNL skit, right?
Right. Like, what if these three guys had to raise a baby?
It's also following in the great tradition of things like Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
About like dudes don't know anything about babies.
And they're self-proclaimed men about town, which is a phrase that I would like to bring back.
Oh yeah. I mean,
what, a man about town's like a floozy.
Yeah, it's like a manhole, right? Like
a slutty guy.
Yeah, a slutty guy.
A himbo, right?
A himbo. But their apartment is just murals of themselves as like 1930s.
Yeah, so let's talk about the opening of this. So it opens with a music montage credit sequence with Steve Guttenberg, who we find out is a cartoonist, drawing a mural of themselves on the entrance to their apartment.
Uh-huh.
And them just crushing so much ass.
Yeah, they throw a party where they have banged every chick. But before that, it's like a montage of all these girls coming in, going out, coming in, going out. And the casting person did a good job because you could tell the personality of the girl based on what the girl is like wearing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, like, oh, that's a young punk chick. Or, oh, that's a professional, like, business lady.
The best is probably when the, like, super upkite lady shows up and, I don't know, she's doing, like, one of their taxes or something. But then, you know, she leaves all sexified, you know?
Yeah, she did that 1980s music video. Yeah, pulling down your hair and...
What was the music like? What was the score like? Can you describe it?
That one is the Boys Will Be Boys, Bad Boys.
Yeah.
If you remember that amazing tune.
The score is like a cartoon score, though, in this movie. The score is so bad. It's just like a synthesizer piano that just does like, dun, 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 like just little quips.
It's also like 7 minutes long, it feels like. But it goes on for a long time.
Yeah. Then they have a big party for somebody's birthday. Ted Danson's birthday?
I think it's Tom Selleck's.
Tom Selleck's birthday.
Which one? Okay, wait. Gutenberg's the painter.
Gutenberg's the painter. Tom Selleck's an architect. And Ted Danson is an actor.
Yeah.
Right.
Specifically, kind of like, he mostly does commercial work and some like off-Broadway stuff, it seems like.
TV stuff.
Yeah, some TV stuff.
Yeah, he's a theater guy trying to break into the TV world.
Yeah, and he talks about not wanting to do commercials, but then when the guy's like, "Oh yeah, no, that's fine, I'm doing it with someone else," he's like, "What? You don't even call me?" Like,
yeah,
he gets all upset.
And then that same guy is the one that's like, "Hey, you're gonna get a package tomorrow. Is it cool if they leave it here?" Like,
oh, his agent?
You hang out?
It's like a director.
It's like
a
director. Yeah.
Oh.
And then he's like, "Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I'm going to Turkey tomorrow."
I've seen it? Yeah, I've seen it.
We all saw this already.
We all saw this, yeah.
So I saw this when the baby was a baby, and he's almost two. I haven't slept in about 2 years.
Yeah, so it's kind of a blur.
So who was the main? Who's this movie about? Is this movie about Tom Selleck?
The movie is about all three of them.
But it's
kind of about Tom Selleck in that I think he kind of steals the movie.
Yeah, he's got the most airtime too, I think.
Who's the hero? Who's the hero? It can't be all three. It's not Gutenberg. Gutenberg's a supporting.
It's not
Sam Malone, because Sam Malone is off shooting half the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Sam Malone is, or Ted Danson, is off for like, he's gone for a good 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah,
he leaves. Tom Selleck's our hero, but they don't tell you that. We don't know.
No, because for the first, what would you say? I mean, well, first of all, it takes forever for them to get the baby. They don't get the baby until 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
And then for the next 30 minutes, it's Steve Guttenberg mom, Tom Selleck dad.
Right. and them learning. And then this is when it's the realistic part, right? Where they're like, I don't know what to do. I'm a guy. Like, what kind of food are they supposed to get? And he goes to the store and the lady is like, you can't feed that to a baby. That's for toddlers. And he's like, what's a toddler? It's like one of those, like, hey, yeah, what's a toddler? Huh?
It's like, well, how old's your baby? And he's like, this old. And he like holds up his hands at a certain, you know, size. And she's like, you don't know how old your baby is? Like, completely upset.
Yeah.
And rather than just being like, oh, I'm buying for a friend's baby, he's like, I know how old my baby is, bitch. And like storms off.
And then he buys diapers that are way too big.
Yes.
Which is a thing that, I mean, they put the date on the box, right? Like the age?
Put the weight on the box.
The weight.
Yeah. So if you got a big old fatty baby, you got to get the bigger diapers for the big old fatty dumps.
Really?
That makes sense.
You got a skinny little baby, you're on the size ones. And then, like, the other thing is you get the baby babies with, like, the watery cacas, if they're nursing. Yeah. And then when they get older, it starts to be solid, so the diapers change. There's even overnight diapers that are more absorbent. You want to talk about it?
Jeez. If not, it does that thing where it goes, like, up their back and shit, right? Like,
oh, yeah. It's just, oh, yeah.
This has been your life.
That doesn't happen anymore, but I remember those days.
This has been your life for 2 years.
It's been my life for 2 years.
So Leonard Nimoy directs this movie. Do we want to talk about
Leonard Nimoy directs this movie? Did I know that before? What else did he do?
He directed at least one of the Star Treks.
Yeah, he had done.
It's like Star Trek.
I think he did Search Of
and 3 Minute of Baby.
Yeah, yep.
He did that one with was it with Joseph Gordon-Levitt marries an adult woman?
Oh yeah, that weird movie.
It's like an Amish movie or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, hey, you know what was popular? Witness. What else is popular? I don't know. Kids marrying full-grown adult women.
And one young Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah. So
I don't remember that.
He had done Star Trek stuff, weird stuff, and then this movie.
He was typecast. Joseph Gordon-Levitt was typecast as an old soul, right? Because in that show, he played like a 500-year-old guy in a little kid's body.
Third Rock from the Sun, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all he played for a long time.
Leonard Nimoy. I don't know. I didn't know he was a director. I know that he produced the whole In Search Of series, which is like Sasquatches and ghosts and like goblins. Really? And stuff.
Oh yeah, it was the old one where he used to like introduce them, right?
Well, it was like these mini documentaries about them. Yeah, and he would just talk about them, and he would produce it. Though I don't think, was he the host?
No, I don't think he was a host. I think I'm thinking of that weird TV cut of Star Trek IV. That they showed on TV where he would come out and just like talk, and then they did it like one time on television. And
oh, really?
It. Yeah, we talked about it on the episode.
Oh, I forgot about that.
But yeah, Leonard Nimoy directed this movie. He does a pretty good job. He does a good job of that good comedic timing. I mean, the movie is based on a French movie.
Right.
So a lot of the comedy comes from that fucking French movie. It also has a weird heroin plot.
Yeah, so this is the thing that is from the French movie as well. And I think, I mean, it's the weirdest thing in the movie. It was funny, too, because I was just looking up reviews of this movie from 1987 or whenever it came out. And Roger Ebert's review of the movie mentions that he assumed that they would cut the heroin plot because of how silly it is. Yeah. And no, they have it.
Yeah. So what happens is they think that the package is the baby. Like, they have a big party. Ted Danson leaves.
Right. And then the next day, Tom Selleck goes out for his jog where he normally crushes.
Yeah.
Comes home sans lady, so already a disappointment.
He steps over the baby at first.
Yeah.
He steps
is
over.
That, the baby. Is that a joke? Does he really go out and he's like, oh, I didn't crush any puss on my jug?
I mean,
tomorrow's another
basically.
Day.
Basically. Yeah. I mean, I may be reading a little into the mustache acting, but I feel like it's true.
Yeah, that's what he was trying to do. And then he steps over the baby, then does that double take, like, what? There's a baby here? And they're like, yeah, remember Ted Danson said we were going to get a package? And
then he closes the door and goes to Steve Guttenberg and was like, open the door.
Yeah, there's a baby out there. Also, I like that Ted Danson's response is like, when you get the package, just set it aside. And they're like,
just set it aside?
Oh, the baby. You know, like Ted Danson clearly hates his own child, his own baby.
Well, because there's a note on there from the mom saying, I can't take care of this. It's all on you now, Ted Danson or whatever.
Yeah. I think realistically, when that mom, because the mom, spoiler alert, the mom shows up at the end.
That's right.
When she shows up, the situation would probably have been like, oh, no, I give that baby to protective services. Like, you can't just dump a baby. Like, I'm like,
well, you know, hey, she needed a break, you know?
Yeah.
Baby had
you're on her side.
I'm not on anybody's side. So, you know, we're just trying to get by. You know,
but you know what
we
it's
will
like.
Survive See? This. But I'm just saying, let's not rush to judgment on the lady who single mom who's having a hard time.
Right.
And the guy has the baby had a dad. He's got a dad. Yeah.
And he was a successful guy.
But she already kind of. I mean, it was a shitty thing not to tell him though.
That's but, true.
Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah.
I needed a break.
I needed a nap. I get it.
She wanted to go back to her family and. Wisconsin or whatever. You want to be an actor in New York. She like left it all to for, you know, for the dreams and all that. Yeah.
As guys who are
well, let me ask you real quick. There was some confusion last time. Now that you watched it again, how much time had passed? Do you guys think how much time had passed from when the baby was dropped off to when Ted to the mom comes back?
2 weeks.
Oh, really? No.
I thought it was like a weekend.
Really? No, I would say it's like a month.
Yeah, it's anywhere between 2 weeks and a month.
There's a lot of montage stuff in this.
There is a lot of montage stuff.
But there's a lot of montage stuff.
I'd say I'd maximum 1 month.
You know what?
Minimum 2 weeks, maximum 1 month.
I think the heroin subplot is more a weekend thing. I think if you take into account the heroin thing where guys are trying to get their heroin
back. I thought it was 1 day.
No, it's a couple days.
It's a couple.
Because they leave, they come back, they wreck the place, they leave again. They arrange the whole thing. It's a couple days.
Okay. I'll say 1 week.
1 week. You're going 1 week? Let's get Leonard Nimoy on the phone. Let's zoom him in. Let's bring him onto the conference call.
Wait, he's not doing anything.
Yeah, he's all right. R.I.P. that guy.
Because he's dead.
yeah. That guy.
Poor guy. Oh, I do want to mention this too. So the whole first, like I said, 15 minutes of this movie is about how these three guys live in this amazing like loft in Manhattan, crushing puss left and right. Just rich, obviously. They all have like great jobs, great careers that they love.
They have a pool table.
They have a pool table. They're just always like drinking, watching TV.
Have it all.
They're watching sports on his like 15 TVs that he has set up. The point of this movie is that it's better afterwards when they have a baby and they're no longer crushing puss.
Yeah, right. Isn't that the point? Isn't that what you get from all these movies?
The deeper connection. You don't make it connection out there crushing puss every night.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's important isn't the crushing puss part.
You're having these parties. Nobody knows who you are.
Yeah, they learn the true.
You want to come home every day, you know, like Cheers. You want to come home, everybody knows you.
Yeah, because there's a specific scene in the middle where they leave, and then they miss the baby so much.
Yeah.
They miss the baby so much. They're like, oh, and then they're going to crush those chicks.
Who's the baby?
But Ted Danson, when he comes back, he has a baby.
And then the two other guys go to their jobs.
Yeah. Well, they go to their, like, they go to a date at, like, the opera.
Yeah, they go to, like, a gala.
Oh, together?
Yeah.
Double date?
Well, no, with girls.
Double dated?
Double dated, yeah.
That's right, they double dated.
These guys live together, they work together. I mean, they don't work together, but they, I mean.
They're all the time, too. They also have jobs that let them stay home all the time.
That's true.
You know.
Like a painter. What is it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's a cartoonist, so he just works from home. I guess Tom Selleck has an office somewhere, but he can also draw at home.
Yeah, yeah. All his fucking, like, blueprints and stuff are at home.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a thing where he, like, unrolls blueprints and there's, like, a baby rattle there and he gets all sad?
Yeah, something like that.
He can't find them and they're under the baby.
Yeah, yeah.
The blueprints are under the baby.
I was waiting for the diaper, using
it for poop. Yeah.
That old chestnut. They do they use a lot of tape on the baby one point, right? Where they put the wrong size diaper and then they like tape it up. They stay up all night and then they talk about all the stuff that they're missing. Like, what are you missing right now? And he's like, I'm supposed to be at this party. What are you missing? He's like, I got a double date or a date with twins or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, those have been all the conversations I've been having with anybody have been that conversation right there.
Really? Like the
dad. What are you missing? Well, I wish the bars were open.
Yeah.
Oh man,
I miss Chinese buffets. I've said that a couple times. Movie theaters.
Yeah.
Movie theaters. Going to the movies.
Going to see Three Men and a Baby in a movie theater.
Yeah.
Nothing better. So, actually,
it's like we all became dads. It's like we all became stay-at-home dads.
But you didn't.
But we did. So we're lacking like the.
You guys have like free time. You can do stuff. You can like watch movies. You can like grab naps. You can like do fitness.
Can't you do those things?
No, man. This guy's running around in circles all day. I guess I am running around in circles.
I like running around, but bent over, so your back is just fucking wrecked.
Yeah, and then I also have been going out the backyard with just a hula hoe.
Oh, yeah?
Just because I'm just losing my mind.
Just a towel on your head, and then that's it.
Just a hula hoe with the baby just playing in the dirt over there. And yeah, I guess that's my self time. That's my me time.
That's your yeah. No, not me.
I do want to talk about a couple of the amazing cameos in this movie.
Right.
So we talked a lot about, in the first time we recorded this, we talked a lot about old Colin Quinn.
Colin Quinn shows up
real quick. One of my favorite stand-ups shows up in a bizarre scene that really should have been cut.
Yeah, I feel like Leonard Nimoy liked Colin Quinn, and he's like, keep this kid in there.
Was he already like a remote control era Colin Quinn, or is this like just stand-up guy Colin Quinn?
I think it's just stand-up.
It was just stand-up, yeah.
It's definitely his first role. Although the giraffe does come into play later.
I guess, but it's this whole thing. Yeah, he's like a newsstand guy, and Tom Selleck's trying to buy a giraffe, and he's like, it's not a giraffe, it's a dinosaur.
It's clearly
a giraffe.
Yeah. Dave Foley, who was awesome.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, because you know why? Because it should have been cut. Because
it's a pointless scene.
Ridiculous scene.
The guy's selling giraffes at his newsstand.
Yep. Like that's that. Yeah,
they're like little squeaky giraffes. So it kind of sounds like a dog toy. Like, it doesn't sound like a baby's toy. It like squeaks.
Well, they would probably get the baby dog toys. They don't know.
I would. I mean, I probably would do that as well. Yeah.
I think I did that a couple times.
Yeah. Right. They're fun toys.
You get a toy, and you're like, is this a cat toy? And you're like, whatever. Just play with it.
Yeah. It's got a little bell in it. Here you go, kid.
Yeah.
Bell it up.
But that's it. Just that one Colin Quinn.
Well, so then there's also the one and only Dave Foley shows up for one line.
From Kids in the Hall, Dave Foley?
Yeah, Kids in the Hall, Dave Foley. He's just like Radio's own Dave Foley.
He's like a clerk in a supermarket.
When Selleck goes to get the diapers, he's just like, it's over there. That's like his one line.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that it for your big cameo things?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. I feel like you set it up like, we got to talk about the fucking cameos in this thing.
Prince walked in.
You
want
to talk about Paul Guilfoyle, the drug dealer who was in a ton of movies as guy that is like a scumball?
It should have been Joe Pantoliano. He's got a very Joe Pantoliano look.
That's true.
Who's the other guy? Who's the guy that was in it?
His name is Paul Guilfoyle.
What was
he's
he in?
A lot of stuff.
He's like a little, he always plays like a little tough guy type.
He's always like a henchman or just a dude.
You wanted Joey Pants in there, huh?
I wanted some Joey Pants in there, dude. I love that dude.
You think that would have been great for sure. I mean, it would have been really great if they could have gotten, I don't know, like a young Ryan Gosling or something like that.
Like a very young.
Like a kid.
Mickey Mouse Club? Mickey Mouse Club, Ryan Gosling?
Or who else could they have gotten? Who would have been like a fun one to go back? George Clooney? Could they have gotten Clooney?
Clooney would just be, no, he's too charming.
They would have been like, I'm rooting for the heroin dealers now.
Yeah, like that guy's very attractive.
Look at that guy.
I'm cool. I'm more cooler with this attractive heroin dealer than the main guys. And Ted Danson, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. So you can't test someone that's handsomer than Selleck as the heroin dealer.
Yeah.
They took the baby as hostage?
Sort of. So they show up and they're like, hey, we're here for the package. And Tom Selleck and
Gutenberg
are like, oh, finally, here's a baby.
Here's a baby you guys are talking about. And then the guy's like, what? And he's like, yeah, here's his formula. And he's like, formula. That's the heroin. And then so then they take the baby downstairs and the guy's going to put it in the trunk.
Yeah. Of a
it's a very dark. It takes a very dark turn because the idea is that the heroin.
Wait, it's a convertible. Yeah. Tiny convertible.
Yeah. Yes. That the heroin guys are like, I guess if we have the cocaine, we're going to have to get rid of this baby for these
guys.
Right.
They're going to murder this baby.
Yeah. There's no way that they're just going to be.
Because they think the cocaine's in the formula.
Yeah. So they're like, this is a cover. And then after this, we'll just chuck the baby somewhere. Like, it takes a weird.
Yeah. And that's when a cop on a horse shows up and is like, hey, what are you doing with that baby?
Yeah. And then they get into a fight. Well,
Tom Selleck realizes that something's wrong, runs down to get the baby back. They start fighting in the street over the baby. That's when the cop shows up.
Yeah, okay. He has a heroin in his pocket.
Right. And that's when Tom Selleck's like, so the two drug dealers speed off in their car, and the cop is like, hold it, to Tom Selleck. And he's like, don't worry, officer, I'm an architect.
Yep. Guy's like, wait, let me see your ID.
Yep.
And then once he sees the ID, he's like, all right, that checks out.
That checks out. That's an ID.
Go ahead.
He is Tom Selleck. Therefore, I'm sure all that fighting about a baby in the street, A-OK.
Yeah, is Tom Selleck. He's an architect.
He's an architect. He lives in this building. Fighting about a baby. What happens? What are you going to do?
Of course there's babies.
Of course, this is also the same cop that brings his horse inside the building.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you're supposed to do that.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do with the horse, though?
You tie him up outside?
Where? What was he doing in the building? Was there a chase?
No, he just goes up to check the ID.
Oh, he goes up to the room, and that's when they hide the drugs in the diaper?
Exactly, that's when they hide the drugs in the diaper, because that's when the other cop shows up and is like, hey, I'm detective so-and-so. Yeah,
he's a DEA agent. So then that's when we get into this weird fucking heroin subplot.
Here, I actually probably can't even see that.
That's the guy that plays Bilbo Baggins.
Yep.
That's the guy.
That's Paul Guilfoyle. I was showing it. You can look up Paul Guilfoyle if you want to see what he looks like. He was also in LA Confidential, Air Force One, Primary Colors. He's still doing TV, still in like A Million Little Lies, a bunch of shit. CSI.
Cool. Good for him.
Yeah. There you go.
He's a worker. Yeah. He's out there grinding.
Character guy. Yeah, character guy.
Good work. Yeah,
I need more of those.
Yeah, so then we start off this weird heroin subplot. So then a DEA agent is there. So the only thing that Gutenberg can think to do is to cut the diaper open and hide the heroin inside of the diaper instead of anywhere else in the fucking apartment. Like, he could have just put it under pillows and the DEA agent wasn't going to, like, know that it's there. He didn't have, like, a dog with him. But it's funnier if then the baby has heroin in his diaper.
Right. And then also that way when the cop is like, can I hold the baby? They're like,
I remember that. Where would you have hit it?
Under any assorted pillows that are on. They have a lot of pillows.
I mean, or just under the bed, any, like, I don't know, in your fucking sock drawer, in the toilet, throw it out the window.
I guess you can always blame the baby if you get caught.
That's true. You're like, that's the baby's drugs, not mine, man.
Yeah, you could be like, I don't know anything about that.
That's, you got to talk to the baby, man. Baby had drugs.
He cuts open the diaper and sticks it in the diaper.
Right.
And then gives the baby to the cop.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good bit. That's a good bit.
Yeah, it's a funny bit. That's the only reason it's there.
Yeah.
Also, like, the baby could have peed and ruined all that heroin, all that sweet, sweet heroin.
Yeah, that's true.
So then now they got DEA agents after them. Right. They got drug dealers after them now. And they got to take care of a baby.
Then this leads to the next scene where Selleck comes home to find they had, I guess, hired a nanny or something who is tied up and their whole place is wrecked.
Yeah.
He leaves the tied up woman, runs, finds the baby.
I mean, that's what I would do too.
I would do that too. That's fine. Yeah. But then he comes back, they untie the lady, and she's just like, all right, well, bye.
Yeah, nobody ever calls the police or anything.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like Tom Selleck was probably like, here's $1,000, lady. Like, these are just guys playing a prank on me. And you know.
Typical 80s bachelor dudes.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
You know how we do. We break in. We wreck each other's houses. We tie up maids.
Yeah.
Yeah, all kinds of weird, like, 80s Wall Street dudes that she has to clean up for all the time.
Oh,
like,
that's true, actually.
She's like, oh, yeah, that sounds
good. She's seen it all. New York maid, yeah, she's seen it all.
She's probably like, they were looking for heroin, weren't they?
He's like, yeah.
And all checks, like, out. She's like, yeah, that sounds correct.
Where was the heroin?
They have it. No, wait,
where was the heroin?
Butthole. Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. I do not remember.
Maybe they were just shitty at looking for heroin. Yeah. Oh no, you know what they talk about it? It's in the diaper pail. It's with the dirty diapers, because he tells them later. Like, he does this weird bit when he's like, "Oh, if you need formula's over there. If you need this, it's over there. The heroin's in the diaper pail." And like, they do like a little bit about it.
Oh, that's cool.
So, I mean,
do you think he ever took it out of that diaper? You think they just changed the diaper and chucked it in the diaper pail?
Probably chucked it in the diaper pail.
So in that same diaper still.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you don't want guys looking through something, a pail that's full of shit is probably your best bet as to where to hide shit.
That's true.
I mean, I'm not a dad, so I'm not used to just shit.
We've been doing this thing where we immediately put the shitty diapers in a plastic baggie and take it out.
Outside?
Yeah, they've been getting pretty bad. This guy's got some pretty bad ones.
Well, he's drinking a lot. He's drinking a lot of coffee.
He's been drinking a lot. Yeah, it's been a rough quarantine for everybody. Yeah.
He's just snacking nonstop.
Yeah, he's eating a lot of greasy food, a lot of fried food.
A lot of comfort eating. Yeah, a lot of snacking on sugar that he doesn't need.
Till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Like,
Yeah, so, you know, of course the diapers are going to be.
Yep.
Yeah, he's nailed it. Chiming in right now.
You got it.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Why do you take five wings to these guys? Is it because you want to change to the next call?
I'm milking it.
Oh, yeah?
Did you say I'm milking it?
Come here.
Milking it screen time.
Cat in here?
Is there a cat over there?
We got a cat now.
You want to see the cat? What does the kitty say? What does the kitty say? He's like, those guys aren't cats. Those guys are nerds.
Like you guys are promising me a cat and not delivering a cat.
Whoa, that cat's huge. Yeah, dude, check it out.
Is that just, they just pick up a random thing and is eating it?
He's just stuffing.
Are those rocks? just eating rocks?
Munching on the rocks.
It's like the ends of cables that have broken off. That are
Whatever he finds. Buttons.
Whatever he finds, he keeps.
Yeah.
Look at that look.
Magnets. He's really into eating magnets. balloons once they've popped, you know, he likes to eat those.
Oh, yeah. Just like the rubber leavings
like
of balloons.
Eating, chewing on the rubber.
Is there a lot of you like pulling stuff out of his mouth? Like, no.
Not anymore. Usually when it's like when he first started teething, he would just get things and stick them in his mouth, like this thing. I should be using. He would just like teeth and bite.
Yeah.
And just on it. And then I would walk up to it and it'd just be like covered and soaking wet. But we kind of have like this whole setup laying out to do like karaoke whenever we want. So it's just like take the mic. He's like, and the whole like living room kind of shakes.
is that true or are you just saying that to be
No, fine? We usually have a karaoke setup. So he walks up and sings. So right now he's not getting any like, he's singing into it, not getting any like, he's not hearing it. So I think he's not wanting to participate.
So he's like, nah, it's lame. I can't hear myself.
Nah, there's a trick. He's also like, probably going to choke himself with that.
He's going to hang himself with those cords.
Yeah. So that's what it was before. When he first started teething, he'd put everything in his mouth. Yeah. Now he's a little bit older. It's like he's climbing everything, so he's going to fall and split open his head. So it's this like frantic race to catch him before he falls.
Yeah, eventually. You get a good head trauma in there
somewhere.
Before they're five, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I Googled like face trauma in babies to see how bad, you know, like falling on your face is.
Why would you do that?
Well, he fell on his face. It's like, well, what, how bad can it be if you land on your face, right?
Don't Google.
People say like traumatic face injury.
Yeah, don't Google that. That's terrifying, man.
How bad is it if you fall on your face and you're a one?
Yeah, not too bad, right? You're bouncy. At that point, like, aren't your bones are like collagen? Like, they're just like
bendy? Yeah, we carpet.
Yeah. If I can remember correctly, you could just bend his bones backwards and stuff, and he's fine.
Yeah, that seems right.
Like before they're two, right?
So, babies don't have bones.
Yeah. Did he just fall?
Just biff. Oh, wow.
Come here, buddy. Come here,
he's
buddy.
Fine. He bounced.
Shake it off, bro. Shake it off.
Yeah, he's fine.
Come hang out. Come hang out with us.
This is going to make some great listening.
Yep. Audio podcast really going to love this.
Charlie Brown exit.
Yep. There he goes.
Crawl. We'll put at least that clip up for sure.
Yeah.
Baby falling and crawling away.
This guy. Yeah, this guy. Yeah, 3 minutes and a baby.
So somewhere in the middle of this, Ted Danson shows back up, does all the same shit where he doesn't know how to take care of a baby.
I like, there are two scenes also that I really like. One of them is Tom Selleck calls on his lady friend who he's been like on and off with.
Oh, yes.
And then he's like, here's a baby I was talking about. And she's like, what do you want me to do with it? And he's like, well, you're a lady, right? Like, don't you do baby stuff? And she's like, I don't do baby stuff.
Like, I'm a business lady.
Yeah. I'm banging this dude I showed up with.
Oh, I thought she was like hoping that they would get back together or something like that.
No, she immediately like, she's like, nope, I'm not taking care of your stupid baby. And then Ted Danson takes it to his mom. And Ted Danson's like, look, you're a grandma here. Take the baby. And she's like, I'm not taking care of your stupid baby.
Like, I already did that shit. I'm out.
Yeah. Some good progressive female characters in this movie about three guys that are crushing puss all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that whole thing where like nobody wants to see a picture of your baby.
Yeah.
But like, no one's going to take care of your baby, you dumbass. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, I have no connection to your baby.
Your grandma, I guess, you know.
She's also like very rich and like waspy.
Yeah, she is. She shows up in like a full suit and like gloves.
She didn't raise him. Like, nannies raised him.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Ted Danson's mom?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why they can afford that penthouse. That's why the struggling actor.
Yeah. Oh,
for sure.
Because he comes from cash for sure.
He's just with those two dudes so they can just like switch chicks around.
Yeah,
like,
they just love orgies.
Yeah.
After the parties, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a part where Tom Selleck has like got a girl in this bedroom and he's like, or I could just send her home and me and you guys can play pool. And then I was like, what? Like, go have sex, dude. They're like, no, you go over there. I'm like, he crushes so much
that he doesn't even care.
He just turned away and played some pool with the dudes and be like, well, and then he's like, we'll drink this bottle of wine.
Was there a scene, am I imagining this, where
probably one of the guys
invites the dudes at the party into another room, and that's the room that had a bunch of TVs in it?
Yes. Yeah, it's to watch highlight of like a Lakers game or something.
But why is there's a bunch of TVs there? Like an old like CRT?
Yeah, monitor. Yeah, and he has like a bunch of VHSs set up.
Just for sports?
Yeah, seems like.
And there's like no chair there? It's like a standing closet?
No, he has a bunch of chairs.
I don't remember the chairs, actually. You may be right. There was just like a wall of TVs.
I think it's a closet with a bookshelf on it with a whole bunch of TVs on it.
I mean, so you have to understand that in this movie, Tom Selleck is Batman.
I think you're right.
And so you got to have the room of just TVs everywhere.
Is that a thing? Is that a room? Is that an internet rumor? Tom Selleck is Batman?
Yeah, no, it's a real thing. Come on, he's not an architect.
I mean, Tom Selleck could have been a pretty good Batman.
He would have been a pretty good Batman, actually, yeah.
But, yeah, no, although, you're right.
I think he would have had to save his stash.
He'd have been a good Bruce Wayne, but he wouldn't have been a good Batman.
You don't think?
Because of the stash? Is it because of the stash?
Yeah. Because like, he's like a charming guy.
Yeah.
So he would have had the George Clooney problem.
Like, tough guy. Yeah, like, George Clooney wasn't a good Batman, but he was a good...
Bruce Wayne, yeah.
He wasn't even a good Bruce Wayne. George Clooney wasn't good. Wait, are you saying that George Clooney was a good Batman?
No, I'm saying George Clooney was like, he's like too charming and nice to me.
Are you baiting me to say I'm trying to get me to say?
Is that why you had me on this fucking podcast?
Just to piss me off?
Yeah, he would have been good. Yeah, I would have been fine with it.
I mean, can we?
Then Steve Guttenberg's Robin.
Was America.
Well, was Magnum P.I., did he like solve cases?
Yeah.
Was he a detective?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was America ready for a mustached
Batman? A mustache Batman? I don't think so.
I don't think we could handle a mustache
Batman. We can't. We don't even get a mustache Gordon on Gotham.
That's true.
I think we would have been ready, more ready for a mustache Batman than a mustache-less Tom Selleck.
Yes. That's true. That's fair.
Yeah. America was not ready for
really weird. Yeah. You give Batman that mustache because that would have been weird.
I mean,
yeah, you're right.
Do you think why ultimately that's why he couldn't have been Indiana Jones? Because they would have had to shave the mustache?
I don't think he would have had to shave the mustache. I think it could have been a fine Indiana Jones with a mustache. Sure.
You think Indiana Jones mustache?
Sure.
Was he up for that?
Yeah. Yeah, he was originally cast.
Yeah, he could have nailed it.
Yeah.
Has Harrison Ford ever had a mustache?
Maybe like Disregarding Henry or one of those weird movies? He probably did.
I don't think I've ever seen him with I've seen him with a beard.
The Fugitive?
Yeah, it's like a beard, not just the mustache.
Yeah, I've never seen him with just a stash.
Huh.
We're getting way off topic.
I mean, it's also Harrison Ford.
Tom Selleck looks great with a mustache. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
A controversial point.
I mean, he crushes. Yeah. This also, we talked a bit about it in the first time, but so the party scene, all they did was tell people that they were going to have a party and Tom Selleck and Steve Guttenberg and Ted Danson were going to be there. And like what, 5,000 women showed up that night?
It was just like cars were pulling up and they had like a valet and stuff.
Yeah.
To their lofty apartment. I mean, in real life, that was a thing, right? Ted Danson was married or in a relationship at the time.
I think so.
And when they got together, Guttenberg and Tom Selleck took Ted Danson in real life out in the town. And apparently got him crazy wasted. And he wasn't used to that. And people were going crazy at every bar that they went to because it's three super famous, super attractive dudes.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Which one of them were single at this time?
Which one of them do you think was the coolest one to party with?
To party with?
Yeah.
Guttenberg? I think you're right. I think Guttenberg was the funnest to party with.
I don't know.
But I could just be tainted from that episode of Party Down where he's like the nicest.
Oh, yeah, that is really funny.
And he like helps them with their scripts and he's like their psychologist and he's just like really supportive and nice.
Yeah, that's a great episode.
And we've never seen Tom Selleck be nice.
Yeah, no, I feel like Tom Selleck would be too busy. Like he would say a couple of charming things and then he'd be talking to girls the whole time.
He's like charming, not nice. He's like like smooth, but not like cool. Not like a friend, you know?
Yeah, like Gutenberg would be a fun hang. I think Danson would be a cool hang too.
I would hope that Tom Selleck does tricks. Like he's just like, check it out. I can pick up this chick from my bicep. And just like, just that type of stuff, which I'd be like, dope.
You know what though? Old man Ted Danson would be cool. Like Ted Danson now.
Oh yeah, yeah, like yeah. Good Place Ted Danson.
It's that one where he's the rich friend of the detective on the HBO show with
Bored to Death.
Schwartzman.
Yeah, that guy.
With Schwartzman.
Maybe it's just because we're old too.
Yeah,
and we're like, well, you know, I don't want to go party it up so much.
Just a nice relaxing
evening. Scotch.
We'll have a glass
of wine.
Yeah.
He'll have some good stories, you know. It's all about stories. When you get to a certain age, it's all about stories. All you do is talk to people about shit when you were younger and stuff. I feel like...
I'm sure Danson has some great stories.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I'm sure they all have some great stories.
As opposed to, you know, just doing coke and stuff. Yeah. Like, if it was DeVito, then, you know...
You just fucking we're, no,
we're just
wasted.
Doing yeah. coke and getting wasted to this day. The man parties, man. That's what he's kind of known for.
So do we want to wrap up the heroin subplot?
Yeah, because it wraps up earlier on in the movie, too.
Yeah, it wraps up with probably a good 30 minutes left to go.
Yeah.
40 minutes.
They come up with this thing where, like, we can knock all this out in one shot.
So step one,
get off the
Ted
hook.
Danson, you're going to have to dress up like a lady.
Because it's funny.
Because it's funny.
He's an actor.
Yeah, and he's an actor.
Yeah, exactly. And then...
And Tootsie was a big hit.
Yeah, so, you know... And then also, we're already like, doing the... They're got to raise a baby. Well, what if one of them's in drag now?
Yeah.
Very funny.
Yep.
And they picked the most Cro-Magnon one looking out of all of them. Ted Danson's forehead is fucking... It's a mass, dude. The thing is crazy.
The Easter Island head, Ted Danson.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So they dress him up like a lady, and then they call the DEA guy, and they're like, you know, we got the heroin guys that you've been looking for.
Right, so they
catch
them on... But
how do they prove?
Right, how do they prove it is they have Gutenberg hiding in, like, a vent with a giant camcorder recording as Tom Selleck's like, so you want this heroin, right? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, what do you want? The heroin. He's like, well, say that again. Like the most obvious, like I am recording this.
He's also very much like, just so you know, I had nothing to do with this. We had nothing to do with your heroin that you are here to pick up that we had nothing to do with.
And they're like, yeah, you didn't have anything to do with it. Whatever.
Yeah. And he's like, clearly the heroin that we're here to pick up, you guys had nothing to do with. You guys are amateurs. I had no idea. And if there was any type of investigation, you guys would walk away scot-free.
Yeah.
And then,
I would stake my name to it as Joe drug dealer that you guys are as innocent as the day is long.
Yeah. Wait, I thought they weren't drug dealers. I thought they were movie directors.
No, just the guy that was supposed to get the shipment.
Yeah, the guy that was getting the heroin.
But he was getting it for these guys. I don't know.
And these guys were the drug dealers.
Do you think he's trying to make money to make his first feature?
Make his opus? Yeah, probably.
He's probably just supplying it to his
actors. These guys aren't like hip to like entrapment because they're just like trying to get their movie. It's like a couple of camera guys, a couple of dumb
shit
camera guys.
That would be pretty funny. If that was the subplot, is they're just like grips that were told by this director to go pick up the heroin. They're like, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, just give us a thing. We're trying to rent the gear. You know?
And
lenses aren't cheap.
Then Tom Selleck
really
is a piece of shit.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
I'm really feeling for this struggling artist trying to make his dream project come true.
Sent these guys to jail, they did.
Yeah.
I wonder if the French version makes it like more like, if they're just like stereotypical like bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like mean bad guys, you know?
And not like fumbling, like dumb guy, bad guy.
Fumbling buffoons.
Yeah, that's the thing. The bumbling like wise guys, unless that's like the bit, right?
Yeah.
No, I assume that's the bit.
I mean, that's a pretty standard drug dealer character. You either have to go full-on crazy, bad guy, or like, you know, buffoon type of deal.
Yeah.
Like a stereotypical wise guy type of deal. Especially in the
80s. it would have been a trip if they would have just shown up and started like cutting off people's ears and mailing toes to families.
Which
like
again,
the next scene is the grandma opening up and it's Ted Danson's ear. Like, we want our fucking drugs.
Yeah, like if that was the case, it would have taken the baby when they first break into the place instead of leaving the baby and saying next time we'll take the baby. They would have taken the baby, and in fact, you could jumpstart that whole plot. So then they kidnap the baby, and then they have to get the baby back.
That would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah. But no, they're just like.
Do you think the original script had that? And they were like, well, we can't put the baby in too much danger. There's going to be fucking families watching this.
I don't know.
The studio was against it.
Yeah.
Probably touch because it was Touchstone, right?
I think so.
Yeah, see, even the baby's got no words about this.
Yeah, you know these guys? You know these guys.
You remember we got drunk at your place last time?
You guys. You remember?
We fed you carrots and peas.
Come here.
There he goes. Off he goes. Does he have like phrases that he can say? Are you teaching him like weird?
He says, I don't like this song.
Really?
He says, I like this song.
Oh.
What song do you like?
My voice, baby.
Can you sing to us? Sing to us.
Yeah, go for it.
Sing a song. What's your favorite song? He says, let's go for a little walk. He says, he does a lot of things, man. He talks a lot.
He says, let's go for a little walk. That's a funny way of saying it.
He's like, look, I'm little. I can't walk that far. My legs are short. A little walk.
And then when we're walking, he sings a song. He goes, walking on the curb, walking on the curb. Walking on the curb today. Let's do it.
That's great.
Walking on the curb today, let's do it. Yeah, he's busy. He's working.
Yeah, he's working on stuff. He's a baby. That's what babies do.
Yeah, he helps us in yard work. He says, let's scoop up piles.
Is he watching a lot of like Dora or something where somebody's very...
No, he doesn't watch that much. Every now and then we'll watch Sesame Street, but he doesn't get that much screen time. We spend a lot of time in the backyard, but once it starts to be like 100 degrees, we're going to be inside watching all kinds of things.
Yeah. Which is like in 2 days.
This weekend.
That's 2 days, yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it.
So they catch the drug dealers.
They do. They get them on video. They have this funny thing on elevators where one of them is going up, and then the other ones are going down. And then
the construction site. Yeah, I remember that. The construction site.
Well, the baby doesn't like that part.
Baby didn't like that part. Baby also thought that whole sequence should have been eliminated.
Cut from the movie. But yeah, they get away with it, and then we're like, oh, that's it. These guys are scot-free.
Yep.
The DEA agent still wants to touch the baby way too much.
Yeah.
There's a weird thing that he keeps wanting to hold the baby, but he's an old man. I get it.
Yeah.
People love holding babies.
Yeah, old people love holding babies because they can just throw them right back at you. They don't have to take care of them or anything. They're like everybody's uncle.
Yep.
You know, just come in there and get the baby all riled up and then be like, bye, and that's it.
Yep. And the baby starts barfing everywhere and they're like, peace out.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, you can take care of that from here.
Yeah. And then you were like, oh, that's it. These guys are going to have the baby now.
Yeah. And by this point too, they kind of got the baby thing down. They're like, oh, we're good here. We know baby.
And then who shows up?
It took you about 2 weeks, right? Jaime? It took you about 2 weeks to know baby. You were set after that.
No, it took, yeah. I mean, every 2 weeks the baby changes.
Really?
Like the baby, yeah, like the milestones happening. So it takes, it's just constant like changing. So if they had the baby for 2 weeks and gotten to his own the other 2 weeks, I think it's pretty realistic.
Yeah. And then after that, just a different baby.
They would have been immediately like out of the zone.
I mean, yeah, they committed to it, right? They went to work that one day and they were sad. So they committed to it. It wasn't like they were trying to get rid of the baby. So
there were three of them.
Yeah, there's three of them.
But they were committed to that baby more than any of those dumb broads in the first scene, you know?
Oh, right. For sure. Yeah.
Right. So then the mom shows up and then she's like,
well, do we want to talk? Oh yeah, actually the mom does show up first. Yeah.
Yeah. The mom shows up and then she's like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, I shouldn't have done this, but I couldn't handle it. And I had like a breakdown and stuff. All that, like you said, passable.
It's reasonable. It's reasonable. I mean, you can attack her all you want, but you're an asshole.
No, I said it's bad. Also, you know, I have no experience raising children in any way. Nor do I want children.
On purpose.
On purpose, right. so, you know, I'm inclined to believe you when you say that women need a break. I guess.
Oh, no, parents, man. Everybody needs a break. Everybody just needs a nap. We all just need a nap.
Yeah.
This guy needs a nap right now. He just woke up from a nap, and I need a nap.
Yeah, we're taking your precious
precious post-nap nap time.
Oh no, I don't get nap time. I have to. We got this big sheet here. I've got to hang it up in the backyard so we can play a Spider-Man cartoon for the neighborhood kids.
What? What are you? Yeah, what are you doing?
those words.
Giving the parents a break, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like movie theater night at your place for the neighborhood kids.
Yeah, we got real low walls.
All those kids are gonna have COVID, man.
Oh, no, they're watching from their.
We got real low walls, and we're throwing it in the backyard.
Okay, so they have to stay in their yard.
Yeah, they're not coming in the house.
Oh, cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you were doing like a daddy daycare situation where you're just taking care of all the neighborhood kids.
No, I hope it doesn't become that. This is the first one. If people drop off their kids and leave, that's gonna be a bad time.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's waiting for that break that you're gonna get.
No.
But there's nowhere for people to go anyway. Where are they gonna go? They're all gonna go to one of their other houses.
They're gonna grab a drink. They're gonna stare at the wall. They're gonna get their screen time, you know.
Yep. Yeah, they're gonna get on their phones.
So yeah, so the mom shows up and she's like,
"Yeah, right. That was what we're doing in here.
Yeah. We do this thing. We talk about a movie, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So the mom shows up screening Spider-Man cartoons for all the neighborhood kids.
And right. She just leaves for 2 weeks.
Yeah. So she shows back up. She's like, I want my baby back. Baby back ribs, obviously.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, all right. Like, what can we do? You know, like, it was actually kind of a sweet moment. Yeah.
They were mean to her at first, huh?
Well, they confront her a little bit. They're just like, well, you dropped off the baby. And she's like, well, I couldn't handle it and I need a break and stuff. And then, but then she's like, I'm taking the baby back to my family in France or something?
England. Yeah. She's a Brit.
She's also played by the girl from...
is it So I Married an Axe?
It's a girl from So I Married an Axe.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Who I always thought was really cute. I used to have a big crush on her in So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yeah, she's really cute.
They're like, all right, well, here, you know, she needs her feeding this time and she takes a nap this time. And it's very sweet. It's a sweet little moment.
Yeah. And then so she leaves and then Ted Danson pretends to be a pregnant woman.
Oh, yeah. There's a weird scene where they're all missing the baby.
Is it weird that Ted Danson puts a pillow under his shirt and pretends to be a pregnant woman?
Yeah. So if he was to like pick up a pillow and like rock it like it was a baby,
right? Cradle it. It's
reasonable,
right? Right.
Yeah. But him wanting to experience labor, carrying the bit. Yeah, I think that is kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's funny that, again, Ted Danson, because again, he looks like a caveman. That to put him in the pregnancy situation. It's funny. It's a funny bit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just Leonard Nimoy being like, yeah, I know comedy.
Yep. I know comedy. I was in a spaceship for 20 years.
Yeah. I wonder how much, though, with like the montage stuff, because there was no dialogue in that, right? That was kind of part of a montage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wonder for the montage, if it's like, oh, just have fun.
Maybe. Oh, and
what do you think your character would do with this moment?
I like to think that it was like very aggressive yelling at them, like, because there's no audio. So Leonard Nimoy was just like, no, now do this. Now pick up the pillow. Now put it on your shirt. Put it on your
rub your belly. No, caress it. More gently. Yeah,
yeah. Sweeter. With more caring. Yeah.
More caring. More. More. And by the end, is just Ted Danson in tears.
More. More. Yeah.
Yeah. Babies.
Babies. So, yeah, they're all sad. And then is it Selleck that shows up and is like, we got to go to the airport.
Yeah. He's like, that's it. We can't let her leave.
Yeah. This is some bullshit.
So then they have a racing in the taxi cab.
Yep.
To catch her at the airport before she gets on the plane. Back then, you just needed to not have your keys in your pocket through security.
When they go through security, they just like give them their keys and that's it.
That's all you needed back then.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's also really funny. You do a lot of traveling. Right? Do you just throw your keys at the guy and then walk through? No problem.
They got a background check. I got that TSA pre-check.
Oh, really? So you just get straight through?
I can walk in with a bomb. I don't got to take off my shoes.
Yeah.
I don't have to take out any computers or any electronics. I just walk on through. Anybody with me can do the same thing.
Really? Nice. Wow.
Yeah. It cost $80 for 5 years.
That's what? Nothing, dude.
Oh, man.
It's $80 for 5 years, and you have to go to this place on like off of 22nd. That's like a urine testing place. So you're sitting around with all these people that are doing like drop tests for work or like DNA tests if they're the father. And then like TSA.
Really?
Wow.
So you go in there and I'm sitting there and I'm like, I like fit the crime of like the guy who's getting his urine tested. It's all these like fancy rich people. I'm the only guy there for TSA.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're here for TSA? Come right in. They took my fingerprints. Like, yeah, that'll be $80. See you later. It's like, all you have to do is go through the motions and they'll give you the pre-check.
That's hilarious.
What about your priors, dude? All your convictions and stuff. You got them expunged?
That all happened before. That all happened as an adolescent.
Oh, yeah, it's all good. All right.
That all happened in my younger years, so it didn't carry over when I became an adult.
Yeah, smart way to do it, man. All your felonies, get them out of the way. When you're 16, get your felonies out of the way.
Yeah, knock it out as a teenager.
All my three strikes were all before I was 21. Yeah. 18 even. It was before I was 18, all that stuff. So I didn't see any jail time. But if it was now, I'd be locked up forever. If I was in California, I'd be locked up forever.
Yeah, because you're technically an adult in California when you're 13 or something?
No, because the drug laws are crazy strict. In the 90s, the drug laws were crazy strict. Yeah. So like, they were doing these really strict...
the war on crime. War on drugs.
Yeah, war on drugs. They're doing these real strict sentences for really small things so that the prisons could have, like, a workforce.
Oh, yeah.
And they're, like, doing all kinds of weird stuff.
Free labor and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, you didn't go to prison. Luckily, Ted Danson didn't go to prison.
Yep.
Yeah, no. Luckily, yeah. He's a rich white guy from the...
Yeah, his grandma would have gotten him out of it.
Yeah, there's no way. He wouldn't have done any jail time.
The judge was his... He was on the same, lacrosse team.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, he played badminton with his kid or something. Yeah, for sure.
And the judge would be like, well, he's an actor. Of course there's an element of drugs.
Yeah.
He's a fine boy.
Look, he has a baby with him, so...
Bring the baby to court with you. You're fine.
He's an actor.
It's an adorable baby. So then they chase down the lady. They get... They get there and she already changed her mind. And she's like, I decided I don't want to leave.
Right, because they missed the plane.
They missed the plane, yeah.
They missed the plane. They get back to the apartment. Right. She's there being like, I can't take care of a baby.
Yeah. And then they're like, well, the four of us can take care of a baby, right? Move in with us. We have decided we no longer want to have sex with loose city women. Because we'll have a lady here and a baby.
Right.
Also, none of them
Everyone's happy.
None of them are trying to get it in with her, which is cool.
Surprise. Like, I mean, it really though, do
yet.
We it's yet. I feel like 2 days later they're like, so
Selleck is in there.
How's it going? Yeah.
Selleck is in there.
Selleck gets in there. Isn't that what happens in part two?
Yeah.
No, I think a different dude comes around in part two.
Yeah, in part
right?
two she's dating like some other rando dude.
Yeah.
Until Selleck gets in there.
Oh really?
Yeah, probably.
Huh. I forgot that.
It's
that's in part two, that's the drug dealer storyline, is the other man.
Yeah, the other guy. Yeah, that's the unnecessary ridiculous.
I mean, I'm surprised the part two wasn't the three of them all in love with her, and so it becomes
fighting it
like
out.
Yeah, and fighting it out.
Or I'm surprised the part two they didn't just have 10 babies they had to take care of.
Yeah,
that's
see? The way to go.
They're all look how many babies there are now.
Yeah,
because you know that was the thing when you do with sequels. It's like you just add more.
I'm the addict.
Yeah, so. Add more. Whatever was funny about the first one.
It would be each one of them has one.
Right. Well, at least. Mm-hmm. I think, at least. But, and they were getting it in so much, you have to expect.
Yeah.
They probably have several. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's like a story on the news about them and how, oh, they raising this baby. So all these women just dump babies
there. Yeah.
Wait, do they go to any, is there any backstory about the mom and Ted Danson? Is there any
just
backstory?
Just that they were in a play together.
They were in a play together. Yeah. And then
she's an actress as well. They were in a play.
Okay, maybe that backstory is revealed in part two.
Oh, maybe when it's a little lady.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like five, six,
something
six,
like that. Yeah. She's Curly Sue age.
Yeah. She's like Curly Sue. another movie we should talk about. I guess.
I don't
That's
know.
90s, right?
That's 90s. Yeah. We might get That's to it.
So there was a sequel, but that's the end of this movie.
Yeah. So three men, one lady, one baby.
Yeah, just like this podcast right now.
Yep.
Three men. What's the baby doing right now? He's just got big earmuffs.
Is he listening to us? Do we sound awesome, baby?
He just discovered headphones last week.
Ah.
Are you putting music on or is it just like this?
I'm playing music. Oh God, he's really into podcasts. He's really into true crime podcasts right now.
I used to
Is he listening to our back issues, our back episodes?
When we were first doing the podcast
for children.
I was trying to figure out like, oh, what works and what doesn't. I used to listen to this podcast all the time when I was driving. And then I remember thinking, like, what a fresh hell that would be if I died in a car crash listening to myself make stupid fucking jokes about 1980s movies.
Right. Died doing what he loved. Listening to himself. Yeah. By himself.
Yep, by him, by myself, alone in a car, listening to myself.
Laughing at your own jokes.
On the flip side of that, if I have something crazy in my car, like if my mom gave me a giant pot of like birria or something, then I want to wreck the car because it would be awesome to just be like Mexican food.
Just like flying out the window in slow motion.
Yeah. Everywhere. Just smells delicious while I'm dying. Like yeah. I go down that way.
Do you ever
I'd feel a little bit like upset though, because I'd be like, no, I can't die. I haven't even tasted the birria.
You could do that. You just like, grab like a mouthful.
You're like,
ugh. That's what caused the accident.
Yeah.
Your hand was burned and it was all dripping down your hand, and you're like, oh.
Worth it.
You ever like when people are in your car and they and you ask them like what kind of music they want to hear, and you just play, and if they say they don't care, play your own podcast. You're like, oh, this is hilarious. It's gotta check these guys out. They're hilarious.
No, but I do, my car automatically connects Bluetooth to my phone, and whatever was playing will start playing. And it's been more than a couple of times where like a Pornhub video just starts back up on the car. So I'm just like, what's that fucking noise? And it's, oh, that's right. The last thing I was watching on my phone. I should do that. I should just be like, if you don't mind listening to whatever, just that Pornhub video I was listening to. I'm
watching. You're listening. You're not even watching. You're just listening.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. Sometimes you want to use your imagination. You know.
Yeah. Like, it's just slapping sounds.
Just 20 wet, minutes of.
Yeah. It's just wet ham being thrown around sounds. You should have picked the song.
Did we cover everything that we got on the last one?
I don't know.
Yeah, probably. But we also
did bits on that last one that we didn't get hit on this one.
And the last one, G showed up, your brother showed up halfway through, with a bunch of people. And then there was a lot of talk about doing drugs and drinking then.
I think we covered it all.
I remember there were people drinking in my backyard. We were recording in the kitchen.
Right.
Right. Or did that happen halfway through?
No, that's the whole thing. Yeah. Like halfway through people showed up to drink.
Yeah.
I remember being real confused. I was really confused in the last one. Yeah. This guy was having a great time, though. I remember he was just sitting there eating and singing in the mic.
Yeah, I was feeding.
He made a lot of noises. Mm-hmm.
Again, the reason that Eric, in a fit of rage,
deleted it. Everything.
Eric is also an anti-vaxxer, as we talked about before. So he was very upset that you had vaccinated your son.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. He asked us to not reveal the fact that he was a flat earther and an anti-vaxxer. Yeah.
There was a lot of that.
Yeah, I remember that whole bit.
Yeah. He got very mad. He stormed out for a second when
I forgot when about that bit. That was hilarious.
Yeah. When he heard that you had given him the vaccines for like mumps and measles and stuff, he left very angry. I remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, I mean, if God wants him to have the measles.
Yeah. Give him the measles. Yeah.
So we do have to, of course, as is our way, talk about
how we fix this movie.
This movie. Yeah. So three men, one baby.
What if we did like a Luke Who's Talking, what the baby's thinking the whole time. And
that's just Luke Who's Talking, though.
We just hire somebody. Yeah, but three guys instead of one John Travolta.
Instead of one John Travolta, it's three guys.
Oh, no. So it would be like constant voiceover. So like whenever the Ted Danson scene, he's like, so there I was. filming the film of my life. And then when it cuts to a Gutenberg scene, he's like, how did my mom do this when I was a baby? But he's voiced.
Oh, so they're doing the voices? They're, they're the ones doing the voice for him?
They're doing their own voice for themselves. Yeah. So there's no dialogue. It's just them voicing over it all over.
It's just like 1950s detective style, like noir, where it's this baby's got more.
But with every character, like the drug dealers have their own, you know, the mom.
Everybody. What if everybody just has their own baby with them? So when the drug dealers show up for the baby, they already have babies.
It's just like
hold up called the babies to each other, and then that can happen.
20 men and 20 babies.
That's right.
That's what the movie's called.
Or what if it's 300 men and a baby? And it's just the 300 warriors of Thermopylae.
Oh, it's like, oh, the 300.
Like 300, yeah. So they're all just a bunch of sweaty, shirtless dudes with spears and shields.
I mean, I guess back in those days, if it was a female baby, they would probably just have killed that baby. They need the strong men babies.
Well, that's true, but they didn't kill the female babies, just the weak babies. Yeah.
That's not female babies. Hot take.
Teaching the baby how to fight wolves.
Yeah, that's true.
And Crazy Monster Men or whatever the fuck was in that movie.
The other one is exploring the student film or the independent film that the drug dealers are trying
right,
to make.
We reverse it. We show it from the drug dealer's point
that's
of view.
That's right, yeah.
From that poor director who's just trying to make his dream project.
And it's these three fuckers and that dang kid. Yeah. Every single time.
And at first they are like, nah, get the baby out of here. And he's like, no, this is what you're supposed to be here for. So they reluctantly take the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do feel bad for those guys now. They're just trying to make a movie. They're just trying to.
If those dudes were recast with somebody who with a little bit more warmth,
yeah,
then you'd feel that bad.
If we reverse the casting, the three men are the drug dealer actors, and then Tom Hansen and Steve Guttenberg are the drug dealers.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. They're the guys that foil their plans. Yeah.
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 All right, I'm cool with that. I kind of want. You know how they did that Gone with the Wind, but told by the point of view of the servants? The wind not gone or whatever?
No, is that real? What is that?
Yeah, it was a book they wrote that it was like John's Gone with the Wind, told through the slaves. We should do our own movie of Three Men and a Baby.
Three Men and a Baby, but told through the drug dealers?
The drug dealer side, yeah. Everything you
know, how hard is it to fund a non-studio movie in New York in the 80s without actors, without A-list actors?
Yeah.
You get involved in like heroin deals and like all these shady things to just
We just make it like a super intense like thriller.
Yeah.
Where they get, you know, they owe money to people. They need those drugs to make everything right.
And then this fucking architect and the famous TV star are just giving you a baby and
the director like gets the shit beat out of him when he doesn't have the drugs when they're supposed to be there.
And this fucking lady turns around and she's a Ted Danson. It's like the scariest moment where they're just trying to not climax the drug deal and they're just terrified and run.
Turns around like
it's a pregnant
lit.
Ted Danson.
This is looking great. All right, I think we fixed it.
I think we nailed it.
Up in the charts.
Yep, we did.
So let's real quick talk about sponsors.
Oh yeah, we didn't cover sponsors, but People's Choice Video for providing the movie. You go to People's Choice Video. They do have one VHS copy for sale there. I did see it.
Yeah, nice. But yeah, go there for all your video needs. It is quarantine time, but they should be open soon. It's movies, video games, adult films, all that stuff. Jaime, was there anything that you would like to plug?
The Spider-Man showing?
Yes. Show up at Jaime's house tonight, drop your kids off, and go have a beer. He'll take care of them.
I'm showing Spider-Man in about a half hour in my backyard. Spider-Man, the one where it's a cartoon where...
Multiverse?
Yep, Multiverse. We're going to play that one for the neighborhood kids.
Good movie. Good movie.
Does the baby have anything to plug?
The baby just discovered the Beatles.
Oh, dope.
The
baby plugs the Beatles. Check them out. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
There's an Elmo version of Drive My Car that he really wants you guys to check out. It's called Elmo, You Can Drive My Car.
Dope. All right.
So is this Elmo Sings the Beatles?
No, that he just really likes that song sung by Elmo.
Oh, okay. Did they put out an album where it's just Elmo singing the Beatles songs?
You know, I don't know.
It was just probably on an episode of Sesame Street.
Oh, all right.
We found it somehow on Spotify, Elmo Drive My Car, and on his jams, on the playlist of his toddler jams.
That's what I'm going to play next time somebody gets in my car and they tell me they don't care
what
music to listen to.
Check out this Elmo song. It's hot. It's the new heat.
Yep. So thanks for joining us.
It comes really recommended. Yeah, guys. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, like,
yeah, it comes strongly recommended from my
buddy Jaime and his son.
Yeah. Star of the Blockbuster Nostalgia podcast, Oscar.
Say goodbye. Hey, come here. Say goodbye. Say bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm listening. I can't. I'm listening.
Yeah, it's like,
I'm listening. Yeah, Elmo. He totally is.
Elmo. So, yeah, thanks for joining us, guys. And for all of you at home, thanks for joining us as well. We'll be back next week as we continue the countdown. Next week, we should be finally getting to Tim Burton, 1989, Batman. We'll see you then. Until then, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
I'm Ian Oscar.
There Pete. You go.
Wish you a good night. A good journey.
We love you.
Do 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 do. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Do 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 do. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Do 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 do. I hate to leave you, but I really must say good night, sweetheart. Good night.
Oh, actually, we might have a special surprise here. Yeah, we got a poop in there. So, okay. Do you guys want to get this?
Yeah, I mean, we're recording.
It's recording now.
We got a poop in there.
All right.
What do you want to do about it?
Yeah, do what you do.
Who's the director on this? Who's in charge?
Do what you need to do because we're going to be recording for like an hour. Yeah. So.